Let's hope it doesn't blank out on us. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We are beginning Parshas Vayera today. And as I said, it's getting more of a challenge every year because this is the fourth time I'm doing Parsha class on this. So I'm running out of material, or the obvious materials. We've spoken about the binding of Isaac. We've spoken about the kindness of Abraham. We talk about the destruction of Sodom. We talked about the concept of prayer, all rich concepts that you could look in on our archives. So instead of repeating, although soon I guess I can start repeating, I wanted to pick on a relatively minor topic in the Parsha, but it is a huge topic in Judaism that we have to address. We could start right away with the very first source, but let's give you a little background over here. Avram is, after his third day of the circumcision, he's in great pain, and he's greatly saddened over the fact that there are no guests coming to visit him. So he makes Herculean efforts to find guests, and indeed three guests come to him. They were really angels. They were in the guise of human beings as Arabs. And then the angels were given, each had a task. And one of the tasks of the angels was to reveal the message that Sarah was going to have a baby within a year's time. So Sarah overhears that message, and now let's see what her reaction is. It says, and Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Okay, I'm an old lady. You know, can I have kids? My Lord, meaning my husband, being old also? So what is she saying to herself? She's saying, listen, me and my husband are a bunch of old fogies. We're way too old. We can't have kids. And she's really saying it, you know, in a certain negative way that it's just not possible. So what happens? So now, that's not good when somebody, you know, does not want to accept a bracha. The angel was giving a bracha and she was saying, that's not going to come true. So Hashem steps in and speaks to Avram. And what does he say? And the Lord said to Avram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Why is Sarah laughing? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? How can I have a child? I am too old. That's what Hashem said to Avram. Okay, now, did Hashem say everything over to Avram what Sarah said? No. Sarah added, and my husband's an old fogey. So why is that so? Why did Hashem omit that? So to understand this better, there's a Gemara in Yavamis, in the second source, that elaborates on this concept. Rabbi Loi said the following, the name of Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So it's really a statement attributed to Shimon Bar Yochai. It says like this, and really, the Hebrew version is so much sharper than the English version. So I'm going to read the Hebrew version. You got the English version over there. He says, "Mutar lo la'adam l'shanos bidvar hashalom." A person is permitted to modify a statement in the interests of peace, which is a nice way of saying lying. You're allowed to lie to make peace. Now, you can't just make that up. You have to have a source. For it says in the scriptures, and he's going to give three examples. The first example is with the brothers of Joseph, who thought that Yosef was going to kill them after Yaakov died. So they go and tell their brother Yosef something that would never was true. He says, goes on and says, it says, for it says in the scripture, your father did command, etc., etc., so shall you say to Yosef, forgive, I pray thee now. So, what does the brother say? They said, you know, before your father died, our father Yaakov died, he told us to tell you that you should forgive us for whatever, you know, hatred you may have to us. Now, the truth of the matter is, Yaakov never ever said that. He never ever said that. But the brothers made up a lie to say the father did that. Why? So that Yosef wouldn't want to hurt them, which would not be a good thing to do. That's case number one. So you're allowed to modify things. Yaakov never really said it, and they said it, and they had a reason. They didn't want, you know, have an all-out war between the brothers. That's case number one. So from Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it appears you're permitted, you know, you're allowed to. For the sake of peace, you're permitted to do this. The next rabbi takes it a step further. Rav Nosson says, not only is it permitted, it's a mitzvah. It's a commandment to lie sometimes. For it is stated in scripture, here is where Hashem told the prophet Shmuel Hanavi to go and anoint David as the new king of Israel. However, that was at the same time that King Saul still reigned. And King Saul was suffering from certain depressions and could react violently. So this would cause Shmuel great concern. He said, Hashem, you want to send me to anoint King David? How am I going to do this? If I'm just going to go and just do it, King Saul's going to find out, he might kill me. So what should I do? So it says, and Samuel said, how should I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me, etc., etc. So what did God say? And the Gemara doesn't bring the whole thing. So what did God say? He says, okay, fine. So you know what you're going to do? When you go to Beis Lechem, to the house of Yishai, to anoint David, I'm going to tell you to go bring a korban, to bring an offering, a celebratory offering, a regular offering. You know, offerings are spiritual things. I'm going to send you to bring this spiritual offering, and go bring that. And so I command you to bring an offering. And that way, when Shaul will ask you why you're leaving, instead of saying the truth, I'm going to anoint King David, who's going to replace you, he's going to say, well, Hashem told me to bring an animal offering to this family to get them closer to God, whatever reasons. But not to mention, so there Hashem is even commanding him to cover up what is happening. You see, it's already a step deeper. By the brothers, they did it on their own. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, well, from the brothers, we only know you could do it. But how do you know that's something that God would command? So that's what the second example is saying. God is in cahoots, and it becomes a mitzvah, so to speak, for him to do this. He said, he commanded him to do this. That's second level. Now, the third case comes to our parsha. The third case says, at the school of Rabbi Shmuel it was taught, great is the cause of peace, seeing that for its sake, even the Holy One, blessed be He, modified a statement. Even Hashem Himself lied. For it is written, that's the pasuk we just quoted, that when Sarah said, my Lord being old, Sarah said that Avram is an old man. Well, afterwards it's written, when Hashem relayed to Avram what Sarah says, he just says, and I am old. He only related the part that spoke negatively about herself, but not the part where she spoke negatively about her husband. So what do we see from here? We see from this parsha and this pasuk that Hashem Himself lied and did not give over the entire truth. And why was that? For the sake of peace. Okay. So that's a statement. Now, there's a lot of problems with this. Because the real question is, since when are you allowed to lie? For any reasons. Third source, it says in Sefer Shmos, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Stay very far away from lying. Not just don't lie. And there's many other verses in the Torah that I didn't have room on the page to fit everything in. But in Sefer Vayikra, it says, you know, that your yes should be a righteous yes. What you say should be true. And clearly, you have to stay so far away from a false matter. Certainly, you know, white lies would be part of a false matter. So what's going on over here? So some of the commentaries say, well, in all these cases, it's not an actual lie, so to speak, because, you know, God didn't lie to Avram. He just omitted some information. Samuel didn't lie to King Saul. He omitted information. Even with the brothers, I don't have time to get into it. If you read the psukim carefully, the brothers didn't actually say that Yaakov said that Yosef should forgive them. they worded it in a way that could mislead Yosef to think that's what they said, but they really didn't say it. It's too complicated. I don't want to go into it right now. But many suggest that all these three cases were cases of person didn't lie. I just omitted some facts. So that still is a lie. Even omitting it. Okay, you didn't say the words, but you're certainly misleading people. So the question is, how do we resolve this issue? How do we resolve, on the one hand, you want to have peace. On the other hand, you have to tell the truth. What we see over here, the Torah is clearly saying that for the sake of peace, it's a mitzvah to lie. So, first of all, we have to understand why that's so. Because this is a very dangerous weapon now that we're giving people. Because now all of a sudden, you know, it's a lot better just never lie and let's just live that way. Once you start lying for the sake of peace, it becomes a slippery slope. Once you open the Pandora's box, then all of a sudden, you know, people come to you and all these, you know, aren't you allowed to lie for the sake of peace? And a lot of times, you know, it might not really be for any peace at all. So you have to realize it's a very dangerous thing. So what I want to do this morning is I want to understand on a couple levels, there's a number of levels we can learn this in, on a few levels, what is the real understanding that you can lie for the sake of peace? And then more importantly, how can you tell if what you're doing is correct or not? Okay, because you have to define a lie, you have to define peace. What does peace really mean? And then, you know, if it's for the sake of peace, you gotta understand what does peace mean? You don't understand what peace actually means. So that's a number of things we have to understand and where this is all sourced in. Okay, that's our job for today. And, let's begin, as they say, in the beginning. As you'll see, it's not such a simple thing. It's not such a simple matter at all. If you look in source number 4, in the very first pasuk of the Torah, Bereshis bara Elokim es. Now, if you look at the Hebrew, I carefully try to highlight. You see the last letter of these words, bara ends in an aleph, Elokim ends in a mem, sophis, and es ends in a sof. So, what do those three letters spell? Emes. Emes is the truth. So we see right away that the Torah is starting off with truth. But the truth isn't so easy to find in this pasuk. It doesn't say God created truth. It just says, in the beginning, God created. Now, if you look at the last letter of each of the first, second, third, and fourth word, really, if you even take Bereshis itself, there's a suf over there. Really, you can take the first three ending letters, suf, aleph, mem, also is emes, but not in a reversed order. But you got to look for it. It's not easy to find the truth. Alright, so we see clearly that truth is an important thing. It's already hinted to in the beginning of the Torah. So let's go to the primary source we're going to analyze today. And it goes in Sefer Bereishis where Hashem says, let us make man. Nase Adam. So all the commentaries ask, what's this idea? Hashem said, let us. Hashem can't do it by himself. So the rabbis say that Hashem sought some advice from the angels. So let's look at this midrash, source number 6. It's a long source, but it's very important. It's the key to everything is how to understand this midrash that we're going to learn right now. So the midrash says the following. Then God said, let us make man in our likeness, and let there be a creature, not only the product of earth, but also gifted with heavenly spiritual elements, which will bestow on him reason, intellect, and understanding. Let's make this person. So Hashem is talking to the angels, and says, what do you think? So now, different angels, they represent different attributes and qualities of God, as it were. They had their day in court. So truth then appeared. Emes, the attribute of truth came, falling before God's throne, and in all humility explained, deign, O God, to refrain from calling into being a creature who is beset with the vice of lying, who will tread truth under his feet. The attribute of truth says, do not create man. He's a liar. When you create a human being, you'll create a liar. Will be the exact opposite of what truth is. Not a good idea to create man. Peace came forth. All of them to support this position. Wherefore, Lord, shall this creature appear on earth, a creature so full of strife and contention, to disturb the peace and harmony of the creation? He will carry the flame of quarrel and ill will in his trial. He will bring about war and destruction, his eagerness for gain and conquest. Okay, attribute of peace. Also said, not a good idea to create man. And the truth of the matter is, it seems they were pretty right. They were pretty right. Whilst they were pleading against creation of man, there was heard arising from another part of the heavens the soft voice of charity, of tzedakah. Sovereign of the universe, the voice explained, vouchsafe thou to create a being in thy likeness, for it will be a noble creature striving to imitate your attributes by its actions. It would be a good idea to create a being in your image. It will try to emulate you. I see man now in spirit, that being with God's breath in his nostrils, seeking to perform his great mission, to do his noble work. I see him now in spirit, approaching the humble hut, seeking out those who are distressed and wretched to comfort them, drying the tears of the afflicted and the despondent, raising up them that are bowed down in spirit, reaching his helping hand to those who are in need of help, speaking peace to the heart of the widow, and giving shelter to the fatherless. Such a creature cannot fail to be a glory to his maker. I see the greatness that could come from man. So a big machoikas, a big argument's going on in heaven. Peace and truth are saying, get out of here, it ain't gonna happen. Righteousness, charity, sing, but then who else is going to be charitable in the world if not man? He can live up to this great potential. So a raging argument is going on. So there's different versions of this medrash, the next part. Doesn't really matter. But it turns out the Creator approved of the pleadings of charity. The way the other medrashim say is that so while they were arguing, God said, okay, I already made my decision. So what did he do? He called man into being. He creates the man. But now look at the wording. What's the wording? He says, and he cast truth down to the earth to flourish there. Hashem took truth, threw it down to the ground. He threw it down. That truth that said, don't create him. That truth that said, don't create him. He took that accurate truth, threw it down to the ground so that it would flourish there. Now, how does the Medrash know that? Because King David in Psalms says it. It says, truth shall spring out of the earth. That's what it says. And righteousness shall look down from heaven to abide with man. So that's what God did. He took truth, threw it down into the ground. So he planted it into the ground to flourish. And not only that, but one last thing. And he, God, dignified truth by making her his own seal. He made truth his seal. Chos Moshe L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The truth, God's seal, is truth. That is the Medrash. So, the questions are many, many over here. It's the very, first of all, truth said don't create him. And God said, I'm going to take the truth and create it. That's the Adam said not to create man. He created man. Right? MS holds the world should not be created. And the seal of MS is truth. And what's Hashem doing? The truth is saying, it's not just, you know, a phony truth. It's the real attribute of truth. When the marriage says the attribute of truth, it is the truth. Okay, you got it? It's not what you're saying is what I'm saying is the truth. It's what the attribute of truth is saying. It's the true truth. Okay, it's really true. Truth is saying, don't create him. He's going to be a liar. He's going to make trouble. Not a good idea. So Hashem takes the attribute of truth and he throws it to the ground. And more than that, Hashem is the attribute of truth. You could say Hashem's not the attribute of truth, and it's okay, but he's the attribute of truth. And he creates a world against that will be against the MS. So how can Hashem do that? What does it mean? What does it mean he threw it down to the earth? What does it mean he threw it? You could just say he ignored the truth. Okay, I hear what you're trading, truth. You know, God's the CEO. You know, CEO calls in his advisors. The advisors call their advice. So we don't advise. It's not a good project. So thank you very much. I'm going to ignore what you're going to say. I'm going to go ahead anyway. It's not like you throw your advisors into the project. You understand? So what's this idea saying? Hashem threw it into the earth. What do you mean he threw it into the earth? And what does it mean? It was planted there to flourish when, if anything, it's causing a destruction of the world. So what is going on in this medrash? Okay. So what I'm going to tell you now is a piece from Rabbi Nosson of Breslov, a student of Rabbi Nachman, in his Sefer Likutei Halachos. It's a long, long discussion. I'm just going to give you a few snippets of his words, what's relevant to us. And he says that there's something called MS, truth, and there's something called MS la'amito, the truth to the real truth. The truth of the truth. Okay? There's truth and truth of the truth. So now, let's understand what that means. What's the difference between the truth, MS, and MS Lamito? And how does this fit into it? So he explains like this. He said, even though the attribute of truth was correct, the truth is man should not be created. That's the real truth. If you want to look at it, men, people, are terrible. That's all. The way God made them, it's not our fault. God made us that way. Because Hashem is going to make them with a Yetzirah, and a this, an animalistic soul. So that's, you know, God could have made people differently, but Hashem chose not to make people that way. The way Hashem made people, they're going to lie a lot. And they're going to make strife and problems and all these different things. And the truth of the matter is, they should not be created for all the terrible things that they're doing. But even though that's the truth, Hashem still created the world, and he put man into the world. So there has to be something that's even more MS than MS. Something even more truth than the truth. What do we call that? MS la'amito. The truth of the truth. So this is what we have to explain. What's interesting? MS? And MS let me tell. But that's what he is saying over here. So, Hashem created the world not with the attribute of MS, especially not man, because man, okay, maybe Olam Chesed Yibaneh, he built the world on truth, but he didn't build man on truth. He built man on MS la'amito. So Rabbi Nachman explains that the MS la'amito, the real truth, is very deep, very awesome, very exalted. And it's a little bit similar to what we talked about last Thursday. We talked about the two systems of how God runs the world. So there's two systems of how God runs the world. I'll just review that quickly for the most people that weren't at the Thursday class. There's two systems. There's one called the Hanhagas HaMishpat, the justice system, where Hashem says, this is what you're supposed to do, and if you listen to me, you're going to get rewarded, and if you don't listen to me, you're going to get punished. And that's a justice system. And that's a system Hashem likes to work with in this world. And Hashem says, listen, you do things I ask you, I'm going to give you a little hobby. You're going to get a good life. Everything's going to be amazing. If you don't, you're going to get punished. That's a fair system. It's a good system. Hashem is the perfect judge. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we can equate that with the word MS. That's a true way to judge things. Isn't that the true way? You get what you deserve. Isn't that the truth? But there's another system which God operates. It's called the Hanhagas HaYichud, the conduct of bringing about the unity of God in this world. Which means, not only is there justice in this world, but there's an overall plan to this world. God didn't just create the world to have justice. He created the world for a purpose. The purpose is to bestow pleasure upon man and to eventually bring that to the entire world, should come to the recognition there's a God, and the entire world should enjoy that relationship that they have with God. That was why he made the world. So that's what that eventually brings out the unity of God in this world. That's the whole purpose. And Hashem's whole purpose of work comes to being. That's the unity of God in this world. So if you like it or not, there's got to be two systems. It's a system of what God's plan is and how we would like the system to work through judgment. You get what you deserve. Those are two systems, but those are two systems that they're working at the same time, but they can't be mutually exclusive of each other. So, for example, so what happens if the justice would say that somebody should be punished? To be so strong, he should be killed. But there's a little problem. That one particular person, God needs for a very, very important mission that will affect the bringing of the Mashiach. So Hashem says, you know, even though justice is that, but you know, I just can't do it. It's going to wreck my whole plans. So I'm going to have to go beyond the justice right now. And I'll balance it out later. I'll take care of it later on. I'll work out a few things. He'll get punished a little bit later in another way. But I need him to hang around over here. You know, for example, last week's parsha, Lot. Lot, as we explained, was not a very nice guy. And in this week's parsha, what's going to happen? The whole city of Sodom is destroyed. Now that is justice, eh? That's justice. That's the justice system working pretty good. But Lot really wasn't much better. And what happens? And he saves Lot. And really, Lot didn't deserve to be saved. What did Lot deserve to be saved? He went after Avram in the beginning of his life. Yeah, but then he knew better. He left Avram, went to Sodom. Did anything worse than that? The Sodomites at least didn't have anybody to teach them to be good. Lot's been hanging around Avram for a long time. He's benefited from being with Avram, as we explained in last week's class. And now he's with the Sodomites. So he should get killed with all of them. Instead, God saves him. And what happens after God saves him in this week's parsha? He gets drunk with his two daughters, and he has incestuous relationships with them? Wait a minute, this doesn't seem to be any kind of a justice system. But the answer is, God's ideas are very deep. You're right, maybe this doesn't fit to the justice system, but there's another system where my plan has to come to fruition. Part of my plan is there's got to be Mashiach. Part of my plan, these are, you know, you can beg the questions all day long. But part of the issue is there's got to be somebody who's going to be a great-great-grandmother to King David. Without King David, I don't have the world I want. I need to have King David in this world. He is the one that is going to take everything in this world and put it in the right place. I have to have him. And for King David, I need certain qualities in his ancestry to exist. And believe it or not, there's a certain quality in Lot that is worthwhile for the Jewish people. I don't have time to get into it right now. You just have to trust me. I'll be another parsha class another time. You just have to trust me. Just you got to trust God. I'm only asking you to trust me because I'm trusting God. I mean, I could tell you the answer, but I can take too long. So according to me, so you ask the justice system, should we save Lot? Absolutely not. But the deeper system, the system of the unity of God, is saying, yeah, but we need Mashiach one day. And without David HaMelech, it's not going to happen. And David HaMelech is going to come from ancestors who came from the tribe, from Lot. Lot had two sons from his two daughters, Ammon and Moab. And from Moab, many generations later, came Ruth. And Ruth was important to be a great-grandmother of King David. Without her certain qualities, King David wouldn't be what he would be. And then for Solomon as well, he needed to come from some ancestors from Ammon. So all was part of the bigger plan. It's a bigger plan out there that we can't understand. And we have to live with it. We have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. So this is the beginning of understanding what it means. Is MS is the truth. You got to do what the law says. But then there's MS Lamito, the truth behind the truth, the bigger truth that you can't always see, but without it, you won't have it. In other words, what's the real, real, real reason God created the world? To bring Mashiach? Fine. If bring Mashiach means we need to have a woman by the name of Ruth in this world, and this woman Ruth has to be from a heathen country for reasons that you may not understand, but God knows he needs to have this. It has to be a specific heathen with specific characteristics and specific traits that I feel is very important to be included in the Jewish people. It's king. And that trait will only come from somebody who comes from Moab. So Hashem said, I got to create a whole mechanism here that this low, as much as we decided how terrible he was last week, there is something about him that there's a good quality. One little good quality that we need. And his daughters can carry that on. So according to the law, the MS is he should get wiped out. But if he gets wiped out, and there's no David HaMelech, and there's no Mashiach, then the whole plan doesn't come. And the bigger plan is the bigger truth. You can get bogged down in very small truths, But if those small truths can destroy the bigger truth, then what's the value of that truth? Do you follow? Because ultimately, what do we want Mashiach for? Mashiach, at the end of the day, is going to bring shalom. It's going to bring the perfection of the world. And truth that can get in the way of the perfection of the world might be MS, but it's not MS la'amito. It's not the real truth behind the truth. So this is what Hashem is telling us in the creation over here. Hashem is saying that there's some thoughts I have that are so deep that even MS can't understand my thoughts. You have to go to the MS beyond the MS. So the attribute of MS was asked, should we create man? And MS said, you can't. The truth is going to be a liar and a this and a that. And Hashem says, yep, I agree. Hashem didn't disagree. He said, no, you're wrong. He says, you're right. And still, I'm going to create. How could you do that? Because there must be a truth that's bigger than truth. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a bigger truth. But it's not fair. You know what? You don't know what I know. If you knew what I knew, Hashem says, you knew that what I've been doing is really a good idea. You don't know right now that 1,000 years later, Rus is going to come out of this. And from that's going to come David HaMelech. And from David HaMelech is going to come this, and this, and this, and all these other steps that are going on. And therefore, you know what? Then don't worry. Lot will get punished enough. You know why? Because every year we read this parsha and he's humiliated. Yeah, Storm, they got destroyed, finished. Nobody gets single. He got singled out. I mean, it's a humiliating story. He lets himself get drunk and to be with his daughters, not once, but twice. Every year we read it. Don't worry. You can imagine in Shemaim, when we read the Sefer Torah, right, in Shul, what's going on in Shemaim? The whole crowd there is looking at Lot. No, Nachamol, you're doing it. Again, we're going to hear the story again every year. Yeah. Oh, what kind of guy are you? And obviously, Lot could have been different and a lot of things could have changed, but so don't worry. Hashem says, don't worry. Judgment doesn't get corrupted by me. It's just immediately you don't see it right away. That's fine. But there's a bigger truth that has to happen. Hashem doesn't want a world with the kind of truth that the attribute of truth was talking about. Hashem does not want a world with cold, scientific truth. Because that was the MS, that's the MS of anti-creation of man. Can you imagine a world without man? Think about it. The whole planet's got birds and gorillas. We couldn't have gorillas because gorillas came from man. But anyway, that was another story. But anyway, you have birds and grass and sunlight and seals and dolphins. Such a pretty world, and no human beings on it. So that's what truth would have said. Truth would have said we shouldn't have such a world. As anti-creation of man. Hashem said, I don't want that. Because I made a world. I made this beautiful world for a person to enjoy. But not the person, which I hear your MS, but your MS doesn't work. So now Rabbi Nosson uses a term, and it's a very good term. He says, this MS is an MS of richuk, of distancing. And God's truth has to bring close. Here's point number one, when you have to analyze, is what I'm saying the truth that should be used or the truth that should not? Here's always a problem. You're not sure how true is what you're doing. You know, there's all kinds of examples. Well, should I do it? Should I not do it? So the rule number one is the truth, if it distances, causes a rift and causes distancing, then that's not the kind of MS that God wants. He wants a truth, only a truth that will be makarev, that will bring close. Let's give a very simple example that I'm sure many of the men have suffered from. Right? Your wife comes home. She's been out shopping. She comes back and she says, I bought this dress. I got on sale, final sale. It was marked up first, $900. Look, I'm saving you so much money, dear. It's not only $150. See, I saved you $750. And the husband's saying, I don't understand, but by the end of the day, I'm still, the bill doesn't show that. He says, so how do I look in it? And the truth is, it's the most ugly dress in the world you've ever seen in your life. It's mamish disgusting. And the truth is, it is disgusting. As a matter of fact, before you even heard it, a friend of your wife called and says, just want you know your wife's going to come home with a dress. You should know. Even I think it's disgusting. So even a lady thinks it's disgusting. So now, the wife says to the husband, so what do you think of the dress? So the meat of MS, let's see, I'm just got to tell the truth. Dear, it does not bring out anything good in you. It looks ugly. AKA, you don't have very good taste in style.
He doesn't know the deep truth.
No, no, no. I'm just, but that's him. And you know, and he's not even lying because another lady called him up and said, I was with her. I told her don't buy it. It looks ugly. 10 women said it's ugly. So it is MS. It's not a man. You know, a man doesn't know what the beauty is. I'm not talking about that. That's another story. No, but Richtig, it's ugly. It's not her. You know, she's a redhead and she's wearing some, you know, I guess redheads and blondes, you know, works with certain, I don't know, but I'm sure that I would never even offer advice. That's the best thing is just don't say anything. But the wife, so the husband tries to give, well, you know, I don't give such a good opinion, you know, don't rely on me. No, I want to hear what you have to say, dear, because I want you to, you know, this is important to me. So, he knows, he just learned to say for Shmos, you have to stay very far away from lies. Says, I'll tell you the real truth is you look ugly in it. That's the real truth. I wonder how close the wife will feel to the husband now. You know, that night the husband wants to make some romantic gestures to her. He says, get away. You think I look ugly. And the guy's wondering, I don't know what I did. I just told the truth. That's the MS. You're right. That's the MS. But that's not the MS that God wants in this world. He doesn't want that kind of MS. He wants the MS la'amito, the truth beyond the truth. When you say the truth, there has to be peace afterwards. And if the result of the truth is not peace, then you haven't done the MS that Hashem wants. This is the rule. This is the rule of thumb. So what did Hashem do? Hashem took this MS. That MS, that answered MS, that really would cause distancing, because the distance would be man wouldn't be created. There can't be a greater distance than that. If MS would have been listened to, man wouldn't be here. That would be the greatest distance in the world. And he threw it into the world. And what happens when that happens? You know what happens when that happens? When from that malach of MS in the world, what we put in the world, what is the result? That MS that gets thrown into the world will bring machlokes, will bring all kinds of strife into the world. It will distance people, because that kind of MS is, you know what, that MS that got thrown in the world is the husband saying it's an ugly dress. Hashem threw MS into the world and saying, you know what, and this is going to cause all kinds of problems. Because you know what? You have an MS, and you have an MS, and you have an MS. And everyone lives in a different world with different schemas and have different MS. You know, that's the whole thing of the liberals. That, you know, who says they know what the truth is? Everyone has their own truth, and therefore nobody can get along. According to my MS, you're lying. It's the wrong thing. So the husband says, the wife says, turns around and says, what are you talking about? It's a beautiful dress. I'm just telling you the truth. That's your MS. My MS says it was a good deal on sale. It was worth it, and it's kedai, and I think I look beautiful. So why are they fighting? Because they both have the MS. They got thrown into the world. That MS will cause distancing. So now why did God put it in the world? You'll see. There's a deeper reason. Anyway, well, now it's really crazy. So what happened? Now you understand why there's so much machlokas in the world? You know why? Because there's so much darn MS in the world. Think of the biggest fights you've been involved with or you know about. Big, rip-roaring fights, right? Really, families not talking to each other, that kind of stuff. You go to each side. What's the bottom line? Because I have the truth is they shouldn't have said what they said. They should have come to the simcha. Let's say you make a simcha and the other family, they couldn't make it. And you said, you know what? Family is everything. Everything. The other person just was recuperating from a surgery. And they were having a crisis in their own home. And the bank was almost going to foreclose their house. Family simcha comes first. Don't you get it? That's the truth. Family first through thick and thin. That's his MS. And you didn't come? You violated the MS. Now the other guy on the other hand says, yeah, but I was going to lose my house. And you know what? If you don't have a place to live in, it doesn't help that family. And now you don't respect my, where arguments don't come. You say, you know, I'm trying to lie. You're not accepting my lie. That's why I hate you. That usually doesn't happen. Unless the guy's a real terrible guy. But you're saying, well, I have the truth. I have the truth. This is the way you're supposed to behave. And the other guy's saying the exact opposite. One guy's name is Hatfield. The other guy's name is McCoy. So what is the source of all machlokes? Is that original MS? The original MS that said don't create man, but that's not the MS Lamito. I said I'm going to put you right into the world, and that's going to cause all the arguments that are going to come. Now wait, that doesn't seem to be a good idea. Well, wait a minute, we haven't figured out the MS Lamito yet, have we? This MS is very terrible because this is the kind of MS that will cause people to not like themselves either. Forget about not liking other people. You're not even going to like yourself. Let's say you have created a standard of MS for yourself. Let me give you a classic example. This applies more to women than to men. Nothing against women, but just see it this way. Women have this big thing about diets much more than men. They do. It's just the way it is. For better or for worse, that's the reality. And a woman says, I got to go on a diet. Right? Now, the truth of the matter is, you know, sometimes, again, this is where we get into MS problems. Right? The wife turns to the husband and says, you know, do I look attractive? You think I can lose some weight? Now, whatever answer you're going to lose on that one. Like, whatever you answer, just say, you know, just try to change the subject as fast as possible. Don't even, whatever you say, you're done. Your mom is done. You could say, well, listen, dear, whatever you think is right, that's what I'll agree to. And even that isn't going to help you much. But anyway. So the wife says, let's say I have a wife who's attractive. But she's not as attractive as a model in a magazine that's got like a size zero waist, you know. And your wife, for some reason, thinks that that's what's attractive. Now, according to the letter of the law, you could say your wife is maybe 10 pounds overweight. You know, they always say those last 10 pounds are the hardest, right? And yeah, she's 10 pounds overweight. Are we going to say there isn't a shtickle flap episode around the episode? A little bit? Yeah. But she's a good-looking woman. Your wife's a good-looking woman. Okay, is she exactly the model? I didn't marry a model on Cosmopolitan magazine. My wife is a normal human being, and most human beings have a little flab here, a little flab there. And she said, I got to lose these 10 pounds. I got to lose the pounds. Now, some husbands will say, no, dear, really, you really look gorgeous. I'm telling you the truth, you look gorgeous. You don't have to lose anyway. So, no, you don't really love me. If you really loved me, you'd want me to be even more gorgeous. The real truth, now what's the real truth? Now that's always the question, what's the real truth? The real truth is, another 10 pounds, and we're not talking about, for example, person's way overweight, it could be medical problems, person's obese, then for sure they have to lose weight. That's not a chef. Person's 100 pounds overweight, they can get all kinds of sicknesses. That's the MS is you gotta lose weight. That's the MS, according to all opinions. But she said, I gotta lose this 10 pounds. So she tries this diet for 6 weeks, fails. Tries another diet for 6 weeks, fails. Tries another diet for 6 weeks, fails. What has happened? This woman has set up a standard of MS that she cannot succeed in. Now, after multiple failures, what does the woman think about herself? That she is a failure. And what happens is, the woman now has distanced herself from herself. Do you understand? It's not only the MS distances you from other people that don't live up to your standards. If you don't live up to your standards, what if you're a student in university who in high school you're used to getting hundreds because you were in a high school that wasn't so hard. Now you're going to a tough university and you're studying hard and you're only getting a 94. They're going crazy. You know what kind of stress is going on in universities today with the youth today? It's not like when I was in university. What you gotta be? Big deal. You passed. The only thing is you passed. Now it's the stress you gotta have. Because they're creating standards of MS that if you don't live up to them, so you now say, and it can be in any area. It could be about Yiddishkeit. Let's say you're a Jew. You don't do all the mitzvahs. And you know that you're wrong. So you know you're wrong. You know, you know enough to know you're not such a good guy. Gemara says, you know, if you don't go to Minyan, you know, it's like you don't want to talk to Hashem and all these things, or, you know, you don't want to marry, you know, you don't want to learn Torah. And Gemara says, if you don't learn Torah, it's like you insulted God. I mean, you're smart enough to know how bad you are. Okay? So what happens after all? You say, you know, I'm a pretty bad guy. Why? Because according to the truth, I'm a bad guy. God says, that's not the kind of truth I want you to live with. It's a very dangerous truth in this world. The MS that I threw into the world is not the MS Lamito. It's true. I'm not going to say it's not true. But it's a truth. Does it bring you close or does it distance you? If it's a truth that distances you, it's a truth you got to be very careful about. And that truth will make it that you won't talk to your mishpacha anymore because you go by the truth. You're not going to talk to your husband anymore. Or at least be in the doghouse for a few weeks. And what's worse is you don't even think you even like yourself. Because you're not living up to the standards of truth. And Hashem does not like that kind of MS. He only likes an MS that brings close. Are you following me here? Now, yes, according to the MS. Yes, according to the MS, people are liars. Yes. But according to the MS La'amito, and God put that soul into each one of us as Jews, deep, deep down, we really do want to tell the truth. Even though we are, statistically, we're bigger liars than not. Well, let me just finish this point. I got to finish this point before you'll see it'll answer most questions. But deep, deep, deep down, every Jew wants to tell the truth. Even though the person will quote the Gemara and say, if you did this, you're Aver, you're a Rasha. Isn't that true? I did this Avera. I'm a Rasha. Acher. When Rav Meir said, Acher, come back, do tshuva. He says, no, I know a person like that, you can't do tshuva anymore. There's Gemara, this and that. Finished. Right. So why does that happen? Why does the wife fight with the husband because she didn't lose those 10 pounds? You know why? Because before the creation of the world, there was this attitude of MS that portrayed people as failures. So therefore, and it said the world was unworthy to be created. So there is a kitchuk, there is a prosecution in the creation that pushes away. It exists. Hashem said, okay, I hear it. It's not going to be part of the world. But Hashem doesn't want that kind of truth. So Hashem, what did he do? What did Hashem do with that truth? That truth was in Shemayim next to him. Hashem said, that truth has nothing to do with me. I don't want to be close to that kind of truth. That's not the real truth. So that's what it means. He threw it away from himself. I don't have nothing to do with that kind of truth. Because that's the kind of truth that only distanced people from their friends, from everybody else. He threw it into the world? Wait a minute. But now you threw it into the world. Everybody's going to think that their truth is going to create more machlokesim. Yes! And that's what I want also. Why? Because it'll give you much more free choice to deal with these truths, these untruths that masquerade as truths. You think free choice is such a simple, you know, you want to make it an easy thing? Here, free choice. Do what's good or do what's bad. Everybody's going to do what's good. If, you know, most of us, you know, we're not going to do terrible, creepy averos. We're all good people. We want to do what's right. Problem is, Hashem will say, I'm going to let you think you're right. I'm going to let you think you have the MS, and now you're going to have a free choice to get into machloikasim with people or not. Ah, now we have a very good avenue of free choice. So now, it's that, so Hashem doesn't like this kind of MS. The MS la'amito is what created man, was what created man, and that's what bring man close. Now here's the last point. Hashem knew that the world would be full of liars. But there would also be people who would overcome that world full of lies. And the emes la'amito is it's worth it to create a world filled with liars for the person who will overcome that and come to the real truth. And have to overcome everything and get close to Hashem. That's the emes la'amito. I have to create a world that I want to give kindness. I want to reward. But a person's got to earn it. And the only way they're going to really earn it if it's really hard. The only way it's going to be really hard is if the falseness masquerades as truth. And then it's going to be really hard. You don't think when Avram came into the world, what was the truth? How do you define truth? What does everybody think? There's no such thing as God. You're crazy. There's no such thing as God. The truth is, there's idols that have powers, and they did. They had powers. So Avram, it was worth it to create a whole world of a bunch of liars, because now if there'd be one person who will overcome all that and still realize there's a deeper truth, Hashem said, that's the person I created the world for. It's not statistics. It's quality, not quantity. Hashem created a world to give, to be able to richly reward those who deserve it. But if there's no truth, lies masquerading as truth, then what's going to be so hard? So by throwing MS in the world that can cause so much different opinions, can cause so much animosity, and you're going to be able, if somebody's going to overcome these half-truths and come to the deeper truth, it was worth it to create the world. And that's the MS Lamito that statisticians will have all kinds of problems with. You understand? And that's how things were going on over here. Okay, now you had a question?
So there's no real truth in the world.
There is.
That we...
MS Lamito, there is.
Okay, but most people...
Most MSs are revolving around our previous schema. And our schema is based on how... authoritative it's supposed to be.
So if you think...
I'll give you a simple example. I'll give you a gross example, but simple. You know, anybody who lived in the deep South, any white person lived in the deep South 200 years ago. If you ask them what's the truth about people of a different color, they're going to say very simple. They're stupid people. They're not human. They're supposed to be slaves. That's the truth. Right, because everybody says it's the truth. It must be seen. Because their parents told them it's the truth. And yeah, and you see it's true because, look, they have no initiative in it. Yeah, it's because you made them that way. Right? But that, those are certain truths. You live with certain truths that you believe in to be truth. They'll be legislated as truths. Doesn't mean they're truths at all. You gotta be careful. But that's the problem. The problem is, God said he took the MS, threw it into the world, and that's gonna be the source of all the big problems. All the MS. You got two people running for president. They both think they're right. Why is it so hard to pick a winner?
So we right? have...
They both think they're right. It's MS. Because MS was thrown into the world. So that's the problem. So then why did Hashem do that? Why? Because there will be those who can go to the MS Lamito. There are those who will be able to see the truth behind the truth. And those are the ones that are really... That's the ones I really created the world for. For those... unique individuals, and eventually it's going to happen, the whole world will come to this. How? Leave it up to me. When Mashiach comes, the whole world will come to MS Lamito. I don't see it happening. That's fine. You don't have to see it coming. I will make it happen. You understand? MS Lamito. And that's what Rabbi Nosson says. Let's read what he says inside, source 7 and 8. He says, for the main creation of the world came particularly from MS Lamito. For the simple truth prosecuted against the creation of man, who's the primary aspect of the entire creation. And through this incomprehensible MS La'amito, there still is a need to create man, for there will be righteous people who will clarify the MS La'amito. And as he said as well in that piece, number 8, the primary purpose of truth is to bring close and not to distance. You want to know, am I telling the MS or the MS La'amito? Is what's going to be the result afterwards. That is the litmus test. Well, should I say the dress is nice or not? Okay, what's going to happen after this? Happens is, you're going to get in a fight. That for sure is not what God wants. That means the Shekhinah in the house is going to leave. When a husband and wife fight, as soon as you fight, the Shekhinah takes off. Now, why did you get married? See, here's the point. You have to always get to the MS Lamito and everything in life. That's why you have to study Torah. Torah is MS Lamito. Torah says only one reason you got married, to bring the Shekhinah into your house and to become a balanced person. Not that fun, not that this, not that. That's the only reason. And I'll tell you another thing. Once two of you fight, there's no Shekhinah in the house. Finished. Okay, so now, what's the MS? The MS is the dress stinks. It is the MS. No question about it. It stinks according to everybody. MS Lamito says there has to be peace in this house. This will not bring peace in the house. So what am I supposed to do? Should I lie? Yep. Now, but even in the lying, there's guidance. Try to avoid saying what's really a lie, but mislead. And that's what the Gemara said. You can what? You may modify. You could say to wife like this, you know what? That dress is something else. That's the most amazing dress I've seen in my life. that was such a metzia that you got.
There's no trust.
I'm so proud of them. No, there is trust. Because he wants peace in the house. And that's what the marriage is about. It's about shalom. That's what it's all about. It's not about truth. The bigger truth is that a husband and wife will be happy together. That's the bigger truth.
What about growing together? What about Ezra connecting?
Okay, so now you have to know it. In this dress, there's no growth.
Okay.
You're right. You're right. So now the wife turns to you and then says, okay, do you think that I'm spiritual enough in this marriage? You got to be careful how you're going to deliver the truth. Right? So sometimes you got to know your wife. If you're going to tell her the truth, she's going to fight with you, then the emes is not to tell her. You have to find another way to get the emes lamito in. He said, you know, I think that's such a good question. I think you should ask the Rabbi Michalowicz. Because no matter what, the family unit will stay good. She'll just hate Rabbi Michalowicz. But the husband and wife will stay together good. Right? Or say, you know, I don't know, but let's learn a little Torah together. Let's see what the Torah has to say. Okay, there's ways to do it. Right? You have to be careful. Now, of course, you can't allow, you know, give away the whole store with to make peace. For example, when it is clear that there's no other option. For example, the Arabs say, let's make peace. Oh, so based on everything we learned, we should trust the Arabs? No. They will destroy you. There's a point where we have to say only if it's going to be peaceful. But, you know, to make peace, but you know their peace means they're going to destroy you, then of course, you know, if you know what's going to really happen, then you tell the truth. Because there's no peace to begin with. You understand? You don't say white lies. Oh, the Arabs are really nice people. We're going to keep saying it enough until they believe it and then they won't want to kill us. Oh, that's not going to work. Right? But generally speaking, this becomes the clear rule. Okay, now, so let's go back to Avram now. So Hashem, in all these cases, what's the bottom line? Avram and Sarah, what's the whole point? Oh, they should get along with each other. Right? If Avram will say the truth, that what? That Sarah thinks you're an old guy. Okay, that's not a truth that's going to create shalom in this family. It's not. And if he doesn't know what I said, what she said, it's not going to hurt him any. But then I say, oh, but you're holding back. There is a secular idea that you're mentioning that, you know, where's the integrity in the relationship? You don't say everything. Saying everything doesn't mean you have integrity. It means you're not using your brains. It means you don't care about shalom. It means you don't value shalom. So, you know what? That's nothing to do with many times. Spouses should not tell their other spouse certain things. Just shouldn't tell them. It's never going to be helpful. This idea, we have to be open and honest and everything. All the ones that are open and honest, they all get divorced. Because we're going to be very open and honest. We're going to be open and honest. I hate your guts. We're going to get divorced. That's what open and honesty does. You'll see statistically, the open and honest marriages are the worst ones. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to hear what the person has to say. And then you don't want to hear criticism. As much as you say you're open and honest, open and honest, me to be open and honest with you, but not if you're open. I'm telling you, look it up. All the open and honest ones, they all said, whenever I hear a couple say, oh, we're going to be open and honest, I say, how many years till they get divorced? And that's what happens. Open and honest. It's not I'm hiding things from them. There's a deeper, deeper MS. That's the point. The deeper MS. You know, let's say as a husband, you did something really stupid. Like something so stupid, but your wife, either she's, and the only way she's going to find it if you tell her. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Unless, if it has nothing to do with her. I'm not saying it's going to affect her. I'm not saying you did something stupid and you mortgaged the house and the casino. I'm saying you did something, you were with the guys, you said a stupid thing, they made fun of you. Now you're going to come home and tell your wife, you know, I did something stupid, they all made fun of me. So you know what? Your wife's going to think you're a jerk. She's going to think you're a jerk. So what do you got to tell her for? It's not like, you know, how'd your day go? Tremendous. You know, you have a tough day at work. A lot of guys come home, they have a tough day at work. But women come home, they have a tough day at work. Yeah? So it says, how did it go? Unless there's going to be something really constructive that's going to bring the family closer together, don't say it. If your wife thinks you're already a lo yutzlach, you know, lo yutzlach means not successful. That's the Hasidic way of calling a guy. Hatzlacha means success. Call him a lo yutzlach. He He's not saying. You ready? Your wife Ray doesn't think very much of you. Now you're going to tell her at work another boneheaded thing you did. All you're doing is reinforcing the distance. See, information can sometimes bring close, but often will distance. How is a husband and wife going to get close? The wife has to, what does the Rambam say? A wife has to treat a husband like a king. A husband has to treat a wife like a queen. The wife's going to say, what kind of king is that schlepper who's such a stupid thing at work? It's enough to know. If it doesn't affect her, it's not going to affect her. What are you going to tell her for? How to go work was an amazing day, Baruch Hashem. It was a good day. We were able to do a lot. Because the more you come home every day from work and tell them what kind of bum you are, then your wife believes you're a bum. It's not going to be close to you. Now, if you have the kind of wife that, you know, she's so loving and she's so caring and she's going to have rachmanis and she'll feel closer to you with that, fine. You got to know your wife. You got to know your wife. Not all wives are like that. The end of the day is, are we getting closer from this truth or are we getting further away from this? People say, you know, I just had to tell you this. You know, sometimes I had this occasionally. Someone sent me an email, you know, something I was doing together. Well, it's very complex. I don't want to talk about it. But the main thing, person started off the email and said, you know, I have to get this off my chest. I have to tell you this. A whole Megillah. Not related to shul at all. I believe it or not, I have a life outside the shul, believe it or not. I read what that person wrote. I said, the person Meshuggah. Plain and out of Meshuggah. If I would tell you what the person wrote, it's clear, that person was out to lunch, at least according to my MS. But I mean, no, so what did I do? I went and asked somebody. You think I rely on my MS? I asked somebody else. Listen, I'm biased. I spoke to somebody else who was a very well-educated person involved in mental health issues. I said, how am I supposed to deal with this? So the guy said, you ignore it. Don't respond to it. But what I felt was such a distance. This was somebody that I did so many favors for. I went out of my way. There was a certain agreement. I did everything according to the agreement. The other person did nothing according to the agreement. And the one who did nothing according to the agreement laced into me as I did and listed 20 violations that I did that were just crazy. So one thing's for sure. He got it off his chest. One thing's for sure. I don't want to talk to that guy anymore. That's it. Because now anytime I'm going to deal with that guy, he's got a whole list on me. So the person said, you know, cut off your ties with that guy. It's not healthy to be with this guy. You can't. Now, the truth of the matter is, that person did a number of violations. I didn't send him any email. I was willing to continue the relationship. I would just let it go. Can let things go. That guy can't let it go. So, you know, not a mitzvah to say everything. Mitzvah to make shalom, not to distance people. So Hashem sees, listen, I got Sar over here. I got Avram. I got a nice marriage. But there are problems. They don't have any kids. This is very serious. Two people without kids for so long. You know, you're the best of marriage. Avram and Sar, tzaddikim and everything and all these things. But you see from this, if Hashem felt it was necessary to distort the truth a little bit, he felt even that shalom bias would be missing. Even there. So Hashem says, you know what? You don't have to go with the emes. Let's go with the emes lamito. Let's go with the deeper, deeper truth. Because that's ultimately what I want. That's what I want. Okay? So that's a very important rule. Now the question then becomes, so how are you going to know when to do it and when not to do it? So now we're going to go very quickly to Rav Dessler, who gives us another piece of the puzzle. Rav Dessler talked, just finishing up very briefly. I mean, the main thing I think I got across, the main thing you got to get from this class is, if the truth is going to cause a distance, then that's the kind of truth that God threw down in this world to create machlokas. If the truth will create shalom, then fine. If a lie will create shalom, then it's better to do that. Now, who would you know it better than Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen! Heaven me talmidei shel Aaron! Be like the students of Aaron! Oev esabrios! You love people, you rodev shalom! Osa shalom, rode shalom, but then at the end of the day, umakarvin latorah and bring him close to Torah. Right? Aaron would find a husband and wife are in a fight. What would he do? A man and two men are in a fight. He would lie. He went to Chaim Yankel and says, Chaim Yankel, you know, Schneer's almond there. He's so sad that you're in a fight. If you would only go to him, just walk by, he would mamish feel terrible. He'd come over and hug you. And it's not true. Schneer's almond never said that. He goes to Shneir Zalman, says, Chaim Yankel is so sad, he so regrets, if he'd only walk by him. And he lied twice! And each one thinks the other guy really is sorry. So that, You know why he had to do that? Because the other two guys had so much MS, they couldn't get along with each other. So I said, you know how you take MS and get it along? You do a little sheker. A sheker is just diffusing the MS that they have. The bigger MS is that two Yidden should be friends. That's the MS. The MS is two Yidden should talk to each other. That is the real MS. That's why God put people in this world. Not to be fighting with people. At the end of the day, what do we have? People close or not? No, but I have the right side. I have the right side. That's what I should. Now, both of you are so darn right, that's why you can't talk to each other. So now, two lies is the only case where two wrongs make a right. Now you have to know, you have to be careful how you do this, man. You can blow it big time. But Aaron did this. He spent his whole life doing that. That's the Pesach Halacha. Not like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu would never make compromise in Jewish law. Because he worked differently. But Aaron says that. So now, how can you tell? How do you know? Now, what's the classic example of a righteous person lying and a wicked person telling the truth? Esav versus Yaakov. Esav versus Yaakov. Esav externally was a gentleman. Like the rabbis read, you think Esav was a guy on a motorcycle with a Hell's Angels jacket? Not at all. Esav had a long kapota, avanza, yibitza. Looked like a Hasidish Rebbe, Esav. He did everything that was PC. He asked his father, Father, how much tzedakah could he give on salt? Whew, what a tzaddik. Daddy got married at 40, I'll get married at 40. That's after he had so much illicit relationships and rapes and this and that. But outwardly, tzaddik. And that guy's about to get the brachas from his father. Why? By making himself look righteous. Then Rivka says to Yaakov, you know what, you got to do something that appears to be very deceitful. You got to go and steal those brachas. Now, everybody, secular person learns this parsha, that parsha, and they say, look at this, the scheming Jacob. If you just look at the text of the Torah, if you look at the Pesukim, we're not up to there. Esav looks like a very big tzaddik, because it doesn't say overtly in the Pesuk, he killed, he murdered, he raped, it doesn't say it overtly, he did it secretly. He was like one of these, you know, high-profile politicians that in front of everybody, I'm great, and behind the scenes, he's the worst guy in the world. Right? So the Torah just shows you this. Comes along Yaakov, and now what's going to happen? He's about to get the blessings from Yitzchak, which means complete control of the universe. And Rivka says, Yaakov, you've got to go and masquerade as Esau, which means you're going to have to lie. Now, you have to lie. You have to say that you're Esau. But can you imagine if Esav gets this truth, that this truth is the truth that will destroy the world? So now Rav Dessler writes so beautifully. He says, we had better define truth as that which is conducive to good and in conformity with the will of the Creator. You have to always ask yourself one question. What does Hashem want me to do now? And don't be the one to give the answer. Go to someone who will answer the question for you. Don't play God here. When somebody's done something, now you have to know, how am I supposed to reply? If you have any way of getting God's opinion on the matter, get it. Now sometimes you don't. Your wife just comes and says, how about my dress? That's why you have to study Torah and learn in advance now. But is it a conform? And falsehood as that which furthers the scheme of the prince of falsehood, the power of evil in the world. Now, how are you going to know this? Now look at this. The person whose main drive is for false goals must realize that all his acts partake of this falsehood, even those which seem to be mitzvahs. Because when a guy, that's what you call the good old-fashioned chaser fiesel. What about, we don't really know about the pig. Chaser and a fiesel. Fiesel is his feet. Chaser fiesel. What does the pig do? He sticks out his feet and says, look, I'm kosher. To fool people to think he's kosher. He's treif inside. Many, Esav, even when he only did a mitzvah, so people would believe that he's a good guy when he's really not a good guy. So the mitzvahs he does are averos. Once you're on the track of its might, have nothing to do with God, then even what you do good isn't good. And therefore you can't trust yourself. You don't think Esav thought he was a truthful person? He said, I'm the firstborn, I should get everything? But the person, Yaakov did an act which was outwardly deceitful, but he had no thought for himself. He didn't do it for any personal gain. He didn't want to go. His mother forced him to go. He was shaking. He says, I don't want to do this. This is not right. I don't believe in this. I'm only doing it because my mother said so, and she's telling me it's the will of Hashem. It's the will of Hashem that this guy not get it. His purpose only to bring about that result, which would be in accordance with the will of Hashem, which we'll call falsehood for the sake of truth, such as this is truth. So now that's the emes lamito. When you're dealing with a person who's using truth to make the biggest lies, the guy is a mafia boss, but he makes sure he has lots of pictures how he's giving money to charity. Someone's going to believe he's a great guy. But he's a rusher through and through, but externally he looks like he's doing lots of mitzvahs. You gotta get rid of that guy. Even if it means you have to do things that seem to be untruths. Because to get rid of the big phony is the biggest truth that could last, even if it means you have to lie. That's what he's saying. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim says, how great is the virtue of truth, which is one of the pillars that the world rests on. And he fulfills the commandment and he shall walk in his ways. See, that's the point. How could we know that you could lie for the sake? God writes in the story, you have to stay away from lying. You know what? There's a very good rule you got to remember. You don't got to be frummer than God himself. Don't be more religious than God. That's what we started that Gemara. Gemara says, well, you know, the brothers were afraid. You're permitted to bend the truth. Not only are you permitted, but as a matter of fact, it's even a mitzvah. God commanded Samuel to lie. Now, you know why? Because even God himself lies. And we only have one thing in this world, to emulate our Creator. Don't be frummer than God. Even God says, you know what? I'm not going to be, what's the word, fully open. You know, if God would tell us what we really were like, ooh, we couldn't take it. God says, even I will bend the truth because there's a bigger truth. That's the emes lamito. And that's what we have to emulate Hashem. And that's what the Gemara will end with this last source. And now you see how beautiful it is. Every judge who judges with complete fairness, honesty, emes lamito, even for a single hour, the Torah gives him credit, so he had become a partner to the Holy One, blessed be in our creation. What does emes lamito have to do with creation? That's beautiful. If there was no emes lamito, there'd be no creation of the human being. Emes alone wouldn't let human beings live. How did the whole world become a world? Because of emes lamito. So whenever you're a judge, on the simple level, a judge, you're judging a court case. Even though the facts seem to be one way, but you know, you're the judge, you know, there's no way this is true. I don't care. You could say everything you want, I just know it's not true. You have to go emes lamito. He hired fraud. There's no way these guys are telling the truth. I can't believe them. You have to use your seichel. But it's not just a court. We're all judges all the time. And situations come before us. You have to know. So you're a parent. You have a kid who's hard to deal with. So here's a big mistake parents make. The kid does something wrong. You know, if you're going to look at everything wrong your kid does, you're not going to be finished destroying him. You have a teenager. You have an adolescent. They're slobs. They're inconsiderate. They think of themselves. Through the course of the day, you can nick them on 25 violations. Easy. And the parent says, well, I have to teach them the truth. Just know the truth. Because we live by the truth. How else are you going to grow up? That's one way of looking at it. But is that bringing him closer to you or further away from you? Is you as a parent, they're not just a parent. You're his role model of what God is. Do you know that? A child's vision of what God is, for better or for worse, is shaped very much between the relationship they have with their parents. Now, if a parent is that kind of parent who punished everything that was done wrong, you don't deserve to go on a trip because you've done all these violations. MS says you deserve to be punished. You're really a rotten kid. You know, I really got to get it off my chest. Chaimu, I hate your guts because you're a rotten creep. And that's the MS. And it is the MS. It's not the emes lamito. The emes lamito is a godly soul. And right now, the situation is, he artificially, superficially looks bad, but he's a yid, he has a chelek elokai mimal, he has a godly soul. The emes lamito is, you just haven't pushed the right button yet. But if you say, I gotta let him have it. I gotta let him know what I feel about him. You'll destroy him, and that's not the emes that Hashem wants. Now you have to be careful when to pick your battles, when you gotta do it. You have to say the emes in a way where you know it's not gonna distance. You have to be very clever how to say it. And you feel one way, and you're gonna say something else. But it's not honest. That is honest. Honesty is, the end of the day, do you want that child to grow up to be a good, healthy Jew or not? That's the bottom line. And when you take a child and say, you're a creep, and you're a this, and you're a that, what do you think he's going to think about himself? About his years? Kid doesn't go for davening. It's wrong, it's this and that. I'm not saying it's right. But certain ages with certain kids, you just don't say anything. What are you talking about? Rabbi, you don't look at that. You don't realize that if you're going to say it this way to the kid, he's gone. So just let it go. No, don't let it go. You got to come up with all kinds of other things to do. But see, it's so much easier to work with emes because it's so easy. You just tick it off. Bad, 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 bad. Right? That's so easy. It's the easiest way of disciplining. It's the easiest way of living life. So that's why we fall to that natural position. But that way of ticking off just makes people feel very far away. I gotta say this. You don't gotta say to emes all that. Sometimes you do. If a guy is raping a woman, you have to call the police and say the emes. He's raping a woman, you have to stop her. Because there's no closeness as it is. Doesn't mean you don't report crimes. But you have to be very judicious in how you do this. I'm not saying you never tell a kid about going to davening in shul, but there's maybe other ways to do it. That's where you have to be careful with the emes. That's the bottom line. Is your goal to do what Hashem wants? Then you have to go and ask a rabbi. Rabbi, what should I do? The kid doesn't want to come to shul. What should I say to him? But what usually is happening more than that, you're upset with them and you want to get it off your chest. And you have no license to do that. But that becomes your emes that you fall back on. So Hashem created the world with emes lamito. Hashem should give us the schus just like he taught us with Avram. And now everything you see about Avram is always done with emes lamito. That's what now he learned from Hashem. And a lot of things Avram did that seemed to be, you know, bending the truth in this, that is, because they're all acting like Hashem. So you got a good role model. Better be careful though. You got to remember, two rules at least we learned today. Is this furthering the purpose of God? And will this bring closeness or distancing? Answer those questions. And then you have at least a handle how to begin to find the real truth that's there. Okay, thanks for listening.